The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you have your Bibles again, please let's open to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. That was where we ended last time. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. Let me read from verse 5. He said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He said, what can man do to me? Let me just explain that again. What he was saying is that this is a principle of confession. Let me just go over this briefly. Well, we can't say these things enough. I've said it again and again. Life is a battle of what? Words. Life is a battle of words. And what happens all the time in life is that we are being persuaded by things to say something. And what is written for us here to learn is that there are two sides to statements. Let me quickly say that. You see, when God wanted to create things, he did not come fighting or arguing. He did not do experiments. What he did was to do what? Utter words. The Bible says that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said. Now, that is when God wants to get things done, he talks. Now, there are different kinds of words that people speak on this earth. Now, I was saying earlier that things in life try to get us to utter. Are you getting my point? And what we utter is now returned to us as effect on the earth. Now, let me just say something quickly about words. I said there are different kinds of words. And when I say there are different kinds, I mean I'm talking about their power. Now, there's something that we see here. He said, I will never leave you. He said, because he himself has said, therefore we can confidently say. The reason is, there's a reason why this is written like that. Now, I was saying that because there are different kinds of words. I was going to explain that principle. Now, words, when I say there are different kinds, I'm referring to their weight, the weight of the words. Words have weight. You know that? Yes, they have weight. In fact, you heard before that they say, somebody uttered a heavy word. You've heard things like that. And a man may make a statement and say, that word is deep. You understand? Or is heavy. There's a reason. The reason is because of the effect that word will have in the ears of those that are hearing it. That's one. Also because of what is implied, what is behind those words. It's not just about uttering now. It's what is behind the utterance. Like I say all the time, when God said in Genesis, let there be light, he did not say, let there be light. He doesn't have the kind of larynx that you and I have and vocal cords so as to pronounce the words in the kind of language that you and I utter now. The argument is not even whether it's English or Hebrew he spoke, or which language he spoke. One thing is sure, he did not speak any of these earthly languages that we know. And there were no human beings to hear him then. Are you getting my point? Therefore, he was not uttering things the way you and I will utter. He wasn't expecting somebody to answer him. When he said, let there be light, he didn't mean that angels, go and help me bring light. That was not what he meant. The angels were not listening so that they will bring light. What it just means is that when he says, light be, light come into existence. Light crystallized from wherever it was not, because it wasn't there. It was his word that brought it out. Now, what I mean, bring it out from there is this. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering. So God was incubating something. And then when that thing filled his heart, it erupted like a volcano. And that eruption, you know, it may not have been let there, but it just, and you do get my point, and light was. He would turn around and then the earth will move. He would turn around and, you know, just move like, and things would be shaking. And Moses would be hearing, let the firmaments be, let this. God wasn't itemizing one by one. Things were just erupting from inside his heart. What am I trying to bring out here? So that when we speak, you know, we Christians, we often are good at that. You know, we use what the Bible calls, what Jesus called vain repetitions. Vain. When you use the word vain, you know what it means? It means that if you like say it 1 million times, it does not have any effect. That's the meaning of the word vain repetitions. When Jesus says somebody is using vain repetitions, what it means is that how many times do you say it? He said 10 times. Yes, you not get effect. All right? The guy says, I'm going to say it 5,000 times more. So Jesus said, go ahead, say it. He says it 5,000 times more. Again, it doesn't have any effect. He said, if you like sit down there from now till tomorrow, it will not have effect. It's called vain repetitions. Like the priest of Baal, they gathered to challenge Elijah, and then they were there shouting, crying, cutting themselves from morning till night,
And Elijah was taunting them, saying, shout some more, because these are vain repetitions. He knows that no matter how much they shout, nothing will come out of it. That's what I mean by words that have weight. Now, when we are speaking on earth, there are a number of things that determine whether our words have weight or they don't. I'm not going to talk about that in detail. Now, I just want to bring out one part of it. He said, because he has said, therefore we can confidently say, the most important thing that gives weight to words on the earth is whether they are in alignment with what God uttered beforehand. Are you getting my point? Because all power belongs to God. Do you hear what I said? All power belongs to God. So if he utters and then you utter that which he uttered, then you are tapping into the power of God. That's why I said, because he has said, therefore we confidently say. You know, I said to you before, I heard criticisms of the word of faith, you know, when I was much younger, and people criticized the word of faith. Some of the people who criticized the word of faith and this teaching that the word of faith people had on things like confession, they were Christians. Do you get my point? Now, I look back now, and I realize that they were not wicked people. They were just people, well, there was some truth to that criticism. The criticisms that they gave the word of faith preaching when talking about confession. Because some of us, not knowing the truth enough, we think confession is just to get up and be saying the thing that you want. In the Jesus name, I have the car. In Jesus name, I have the car. In Jesus name, I have the car. It is vain repetition. You can get up and go in front of the company saying, Jesus name, I have the job. In Jesus name, I have this one. This one that Chevron is giving this month is my own. I confess. It is vain repetition. Now, you hear what I'm saying? I know what I'm trying to explain to you. You can get up there and say things. Listen. Because they are motivated by desire. They don't have weight. Yes. They are motivated by a wish. They don't have weight. So sometimes people think that it is how much you say something that means that you will receive it. Now let me tell you something. When God told the children of Israel, go to Kadesh Barnea, go to the land, you can take the land. And they refused. And then God now pronounced judgment through Moses. What did they do? In response to the judgment, they were so repentant, they got up. Let me tell you something. Oh God, please, I know I'm digressing. I hope you don't mind. Listen, I've told you before. If you see a man who says, I was a sinner in the world. I was a musician. I sang for the devil and sang for the devil. Now I want to sing for God. Just know he's not born again yet or he's confused. If those who were in the world, we could go out and dance all night. Now we are going to dance all night as praise. Just know he has not given his life to Christ properly. Or he does not know what it means. No, he has not yet received the forgiveness that God has to give. All this reactionary payback. You get my point? For God. He doesn't like it. Actually, it annoys God. That's why a lot of people, they will say that they were doing well as unbelievers. They gave their lives to Christ. Things are not the same again. One, sometimes it's because of they left the world and they are now in the way of truth. And of course, God won't support the iniquity they were doing before. Sometimes it's God just punishing them so that they will get a point. When I see a lot of times, you see a musician, he gives his life to Christ. They start singing praise, worship, hallelujah, Jesus is coming, he's a savior. God will just say, this embarrassment is not good. Don't embarrass me. What you can sing is a party song. Sing, just don't be singing. I don't want naked girls around you, you know. Be a normal human being. Doctors who give their lives to Christ, don't go to work next day and say, in Jesus' name, all my patients become well. No, they still bring out their injection, you know, some of my points, stethoscope. They go about normal work. Because you're a musician does not exempt you at all. If you were just singing, the sky is blue, keep on singing, the sky is yellow, whatever it is. Don't start saying, now we want to worship. We want to worship. You know, sometimes the Lord just vexes. Say, will you stop all of this? Don't do the job where I don't send you just because you won't impress me. Accept forgiveness and sit down. Are you getting what I'm saying? Accept forgiveness and do what? Sit down. And live, in quotes, a normal and righteous life. Don't try to pay back. Because you were a cult member, you now start an anti-cult movement on campus. Cult people will soon enjoy you. Not because God can't protect you, but he wants to tell you that this is not the job he sent you to. You have repented. Hey, go about your normal studies. Carry your book. Go to class and sit down. Go to fellowship. Read. That's what I asked you to do. Now say, for all the years that we disturb this campus, you now launch a crusade to rearrange the campus is sin as far as God is concerned. A lot of people don't understand this. You know why I went into that side? I wanted to bring out to you. When God finished judging the people, they said, we will go to take the land. Moses said, "You don't start again." No. They said, "No, Moses, wait." Moses said, "God will not be with you." You know, because, you know, you know the story I'm talking about. Quickly open today, for some people who might not know it. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Just want to explain something. There's something that led me into this. I hope I quickly, let me not spend too much time on it. Okay, don't open to it, because I don't want to waste time on it. Don't open to it. All right, don't want to waste time on it, all right? Now, what happened? The people now got up and said, "Now we are going to attack the land." The first battle they went for, they walloped them thoroughly. And Moses said, "Did I not warn you?" Now, why am I bringing up that issue? Actually, I digress, because occasionally when I'm talking, I just find a point to explain things to the people of God. All right? Actually, what led me there is the fact that the same people that said, "We can't, we are not able, the giants will kill us," after God brought judgment, Moses now said that there's nothing you can do. This is the judgment. It has been executed. So better stay here. They now began to fight and say, "We can. We will go forth. We will overcome." Did they overcome? No. Because if you speak words, though they sound good, though they be motivated by what appears like a good thought, if they are not the words of God, are you getting my point? They don't have power. No matter what motivates them. Let me tell you something I want to say to you. You know, I was thinking about it today. As Christians, be careful about this. A lot of things we hear these days, they are very good words. One day, you know, my wife had an issue. We were discussing with some things with some people. And they were, all of them women, talking about issues in the body of Christ, young girls and all of that. And they were talking, and she was getting a bit upset that this is not, you guys are not saying things. You are saying what sounds good, but this is not going to change anybody. Then shortly after that, or was it shortly before that? I think it was shortly after that. I had this tape by Billy Akoni. How many of you know of Billy Akoni? All right. So Billy Akoni was talking about the power of the word of God. So I told my wife, "Listen to this." And the man said, "The word of God is not good advice." Now that, I can't remember exactly words he used, but he was trying to explain that. And my wife said, "This is exactly, this is an answer to what I was saying that day. That all this plenty talk is good advice. Good advice can't change people because it does not have power in it." I hope you understand what I'm saying. Good advice can't change people. When we were in school those days, we studied psychiatry. And we were talking about personality disorders. One of the things we studied was a group of disorders they call, well, a particular disorder they call an antisocial personality. An antisocial man, let me summarize it, is a troublemaker. He causes trouble. And then, I remember one of the things he said to us then, our teacher. He said, no matter how much you punish him, no matter how much you talk to him, no matter how much you try to reason with him, he can't change. And one day we're in clinic. And this man drags his son down that this boy must have a mental problem. And when he finished narrating the problems that this boy had caused him, how one day he had to go to police station to go and do this. He had to build the boy out several times. One day the boy destroyed something. And then one day he took something that belonged to him. And he was talking so much about the evil the man had caused, the young boy had caused, and that this doctor should please help him. And all of us were laughing. And guess what? Even the boy was laughing. Here he was sitting in the psychiatric clinic, medical students there, and the big doctor was sitting down there looking at him, and his father was bringing forth all these complaints. And it was so funny, we were laughing. The boy joined in laughter, I still remember. He leaned back in his seat and laughed. And the doctor turned to him and began to lambast him and threaten him. When the man finished talking, turned to us and said, "Just his hand like this, that all this talk where I talk, no effect. This guy is an antisocial character. It's a personality disorder. Talk from now till tomorrow, he's not going to change." Now, this is what I'm saying. You know why? Because advice doesn't have power. Are you getting my point? It does not have. And I discovered, I was thinking about it today, all right? That you see, even when it comes to raising children and all of that, it's important. I want people who are young, okay, talk to them like normal, their children. But as they are growing as a parent, learn to talk the word of God to them. Don't say they don't understand. That's why these days I've been dragging my children that are growing to a particular age. I drag them for prayer meeting from Bible. It's time, come and start hearing. You know why? Because even when it doesn't appear like you understand me, the word I'm speaking has power. It can correct your head before it goes crazy. When you don't even know the meaning of what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? That's why, listen, I told you before, it's good to read management books. Amen? If you are studying management, you have to read your textbooks. Don't be so. If you are doing business, you have to know how to manage your business and manage your home. Management books are good. But like I said that day, Rocky and I discussed, and she said, "Oga, what is it about these materials and the word of God?" I said, "This is just to know how to do things in life. They don't have power. If you like, read management from now till tomorrow. They can't make a business succeed. They can't. You know why? They don't have power. They can help a business that God wants to succeed. Do you follow my point? You can find out that these are the areas where you are hindering the power of God that wants to manifest in your business. But in themselves, they cannot cause a failing business to succeed. Why? They don't have power. That's the problem. If you like, wake up at night, be studying your books on management, how to manage your business. Listen, let me just say this again. That's the advantage we have as believers. That is why you can sleep longer than an average person. A man talked to me today. He said, he knows that people are growing earlier these days. He said, what is the cause? I said, sleep is not enough. That's the cause. People are not sleeping enough. Let me tell you something. The Bible says it's vain to wake up early and to go to bed late. That's the word of God. Talk to your bed and say, bed, it is vain to wake up early. You will find that you can't wake up on time again. I'm not going to say something here. That's the advantage we have as believers. We can sleep a little longer. We can worry far less than the rest of the world. In fact, we shouldn't worry about what they worry about. Worry about other things. How much Bible have I read? How much word of God have I spoken? That's our consent. You get what I'm saying? It's crucial. You see, the reason is that we have access to something that has power that other people don't have. What I'm telling you here, I pray you will grasp the point. You can learn methods. Let's assume you're a student and you find that you don't remember easily. There are books on how to have a retentive memory. You know that? There are books on how to read fast and still remember. There are all kinds of books and they are not bad, but they don't have power. They don't have what? Power. But the word of God will take a brain that forgets 80% of the things that it imbibes and cause it to remember 80%. And you ask the person, how did it come to do like this? You can't even remember. I just know that there was a time I went to church one day and the word of God was coming forth and I just realized that this, my forgetful brain, is not the will of God. And since that time, I've not been forgetting things. What method? I really don't know. Before that time, I was very careless. I used to lose money and all of that in business. But ever since I heard, there was this seminar that we did in our church and the person preaching taught us what God said about businesses. Since then, I discovered I hardly lose money. You know, I know, really. You improve your management. Hey, well, I am sure I did along the line. But suddenly things began to fall for me in pleasant places. Why? Because the word of God has what? Power. That's what I'm trying to explain. It has power. There's one man in Lagos that time. You know, Lagos is a very nice place. All kinds of things. They did good things, bad things, normal people, crazy people. That's why T.B. Joshua is not in Enugu. He's in Lagos. There was one clown that time in Lagos. His name now, you know, those of you in Eastern Nigeria, you know, not they see some things with the other side. Most people here are Christians. You know, either nominal or real, you understand? But in the West, there's Christian, Muslim, everybody's mixed already. So do you know anything about, you know, there are different names. I'm sure you've seen this name. You know, Islamic names have the word Deen at the back, you know. You see? Shamsuddin, you know, things like that. This guy said his own name is Samson Din. You know, like Samuel Din. He said, you know, Samson Din. Taka. He practiced what he called Chrislam Hab. He had the mighty congregation. Don't think it's a joke. When you see the guy preaching with vigor on television, he combined Christianity with Islam and traditional issues. So he said his name is, his church is called Chrislam Hab. And he had what they call Mount Tude. Tude in Yoruba is for to lose bondage. That's breaking of bondage. So he had different prescriptions. There's Tude 3, Tude 7. You do all night. I'm sitting down there. I'm serious. The day I heard him and preach on TV, I opened my mouth. Is that the, look, charisma and preaching are two different things. The man is so charismatic. Eh, you will engage your mouth and you will speak. Ah, I said, yay. And when you see them in this church preaching, praying, you think there is a Pentecostal church. Samson Dean, that's his guy's name, Chris Lamhab. And they will be prophesying. This is what I'm going to. They will be prophesying. And I look and I laugh. You know why? The mostly women in this church, they will shout, shout, shout. Put hand on their heads. Declare, declare, declare. Those words, I'm sorry to say, are essentially empty. They are born out of wishes. People are wishing things. They seem to have a bit of power, and I won't go into that now, on a mundane level. But they can't fight off demons. I hope you know that. Human wish cannot fight off evil spirits. They can't. When people were criticizing, like I was saying earlier, the Word of Faith movement, I was saying earlier, these are the things that cause the criticism. Because when you go into Christian Science, they teach those things. You get my point? Buddhists will sit down and teach you the same things. And it appears as if Christians are trying to learn Christian Science and Buddhism and Scientology and stuff like that. And I think a lot of Christians made that mistake. They didn't understand it well. That Christian confession is not based upon wish. We don't talk long enough so that, you know, we keep on talking until we have effect. No, our speech is dictated by what God has said. The difference between Christian Science and some of these Eastern religions and Christianity is that we don't talk because we just like to talk or just because we know that the tongue has power. So we start engaging the tongue to talk, talk, talk. No. What we do is that now that we know that the tongue has power, we now hook it to the real source of power. Do you get my point? So we don't just utter desires. We utter, this is the interesting part, revelation. I hope you get what I'm saying. Listen, that's why you must get this point. People have said John the Baptist was in the wilderness because he didn't have revelation. If you had the kind of revelation that we have right now, he'll be wearing big cloth and listen. He had a ministry. And because of his ministry, he had to be in the wilderness living the way he lived. Therefore, he didn't have the time to be prophesying and receive a new house. Hallelujah. He didn't have it. God didn't even give him that in code revelation. Paul couldn't prophesy and confess a wife into existence. He did not need one. He had, from the word of God, are you getting my point? Discovered what his ministry was. And he said, I magnify my office. When you say, Oga, you know, when you have a woman in your life, you say, listen, my friend, by the grace of God, I am what I am, a single man. And his power walking towards me. That's for him, it's a revelation. This is not about wish or not. It's born out of what? A revelation. That's why, listen, Christianity and reasoning, there are two different things. We learn how to reason. Amen. We use the word of God to reason. Amen. But the important thing is that when it is time to talk, the power of Christianity is that we declare what he has said. That's why I say it all the time. I see Christians gather. See, the way Islam is moving, we need to gather and network. I said, it's not necessary. You are coming to fight the battle on their level. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. You want to come down and engage I mean, you said that you hear that there's this cult somewhere. It's mostly made of people like this, and they are so weak Christians. You see, they're a business network. So we Christians will network, and then we will overtake them. Ah, I wish you get the point. That when you have stepped into the proper office, please, I pray you understand what I'm saying. You know, God came to Moses, Solomon, and said, "What do you want me to do for you? Ask anything." I'm assuming that he was a Nigerian. You know what God was saying? Do you like MTN? You like Nigeria Breweries? Do you like Coca-Cola? Which other one? You like Shell? God is just asking. Say, anyone you ask, just ask for, I'll give them to you. You know, that's what God was saying. As me was a Nigerian. So you like First Bank? You want 75% of their shares? Listen, in life, in whatever area of life God calls you to, a time will come. Listen to me, this will happen. If you keep on working with God in faithfulness, all right? He will just look and say, ask me for anything that you want. And listen, God doesn't ask such questions of children. Hey, please. You know, God doesn't want anybody that will send him, say, God, I want to eat roasted yam. You know, those kind of... So, it doesn't come with certain requests to certain kinds of people. There's what Oswald Chambers calls the restraining power of the spirit. That is, why didn't Abraham ask God for 5 people to save Sodom and Gomorrah? Why didn't he ask for 1? Why did he stop at 10? There are many reasons. One of them, which I heard Oswald Chambers explain, is what he called the restraining power of the spirit. That Abraham intuitively knew that he couldn't ask for more, for less than 10. That was why he stopped at 10. That the Holy Spirit restrained it to that level. That Abraham, don't go below 10. That's the only reasonable number. So when he hit 10, and like I said, you heard me say here before, that's for the demonstration of his righteousness. So God said, listen, 10 is the best, the only one that I can do. So he allowed Abraham to ask for 10, and he granted him the will of God. And God went there, counted 10, and there wasn't 10. So he told Abraham, in effect, you see, if there were 10, I would not have come down. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. Now, there's a reason I'm going to about retraining the power of the Spirit. There's a place you get to in life. God knows he has built you up to a level. He will ask you simply, what do you want me to do for you? Listen, all the so-called cultists and Muslims that gathered and built a mighty network, all right? God will lead you into that area of endeavor, that profession, or that career in life. And when he has built you up to a level, you say, what do you want me to ask for you, to do for you? Let me tell you something about God. God is in the light, and with him there's no darkness at all. That is, when he's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? He knows what you want him to do for you. So, he doesn't ask such questions except he has prepared to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? God never, he's not confused. He knows. I hope you're getting my point. So, at that point, the Holy Spirit would have moved to that level. He said, this company, this and the way it is network, I like it. It will be good. And God will say, it is done. Now, men have networked for 40 years, scheming and scheming. And in one night, God will wake you up and say, what do you want me to do for you? And you will say, this is what I want. Now, at that point, you won't be concerned about whether you want to be governor, though you know your state needs a good governor. You won't be concerned about whether you want to be president, though you know the nation needs a good president. You just know that this is my calling. So what do you want me to do for you? Lord, give me this. Everything. Let's use business now, right? As an example. All these networks being put together is valued at $45 billion. I like it. It will be good. And God says, it is done. Jesus cursed a tree. It was the next day they saw the tree had died. 24 hours for a business cycle. Maybe 2 years. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. And then you will depart. At the end of 2 years, they will hear that suddenly you have taken over. You now control 85% of the shares of what this is put together. And now say the richest man in Africa, second richest man in the world. They start mentioning your names. Why? Because one night you said, God, this is what I want you to do for me. That's the power of Christianity. So leave those who want to network. Don't fight at their level. When Christians come in and say, look, listen, Christians need to come together. To do what? So business. I said, my friend, go away. You don't need to come together to do business. Do business with any honest person you can find. That's not what we're talking about. That's fighting at a level. Look, there is a man who's gathering and gathering. God said, why? And people say, God, why is he gathering? He said, it's a job I've given him that I might give to the person who's pleasing to me in the due time. Listen, look, I know what I'm telling you. Listen, if God tells you, sit down here, be doing this thing for me through many methods. You know, people say, my mate, I wish you would understand how God works. Say, with God, a day is like 1,000 years. That is what men can accomplish in 1,000 years. God can do it in one day. And yet, what he does is that when you are sitting down there seeming to be doing nothing, he has sent men. He said, other men labored. Now you are entering into their labor. Men will labor and labor and labor. And in 2 years, what they gather for 40 years, they hand it over to you. It's the will of God. I've heard people say before that Muslims are building universities. I like it. I went to an Anglican secondary school. I'm an Anglican today. No, are you getting my point? He said, Muslim university, go there. He said, Saudis are fun. He's not meeting their teaching engineering and law. Go now. If they can convert you into Islam, you were not a Christian from the beginning. Strangers will build your walls. Why are you afraid? They say Saudis are bringing investors to Nigeria. Open the door. Give them land. People don't know how to reap where they did not sow. They are the ones that will give scholarship. Listen, what is this man's name? Ukraine. This Nigerian man. He was trained by communists. Sunday Adilaja went as a young believer, less than 6 months in the Lord, went to the center of communism because he won a scholarship. That's the reason why he's a pastor of one of the largest churches in the world today, at least in Europe. One of the most influential, I think the most influential preacher in the whole of Europe. That's Sunday Adilaja. So don't be afraid. Somebody said, if Muslims open university in Enugu, don't be afraid. Go there. It's university, not secondary school. It's not primary school. You're not giving. You're an adult. No, that's my own. Build it. If you come from Saudi, build in Nigeria. You want to carry the building where you're going. Oh, I pray you get understanding. That Christian fighter. Christian network. Anyway, let me not leave the main thing I'm trying to say. The power belongs to God. The only way we have power with our words is when our words resonate with what God is saying. That's what I'm saying. You can read all kinds of books. They are good. I like history books, business books. I like when intellectuals write. I love to read to be informed. But no matter how much you read, you know, you see books on relating with clients, books on relating with networking, books on how to relate with your coworkers, how to hire the best staff. There are good books you can read. Amen? But they can't speak to dry bones, and dry bones will live. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why, listen, I keep on saying it too. There's no substitute for hearing the word of God. I'll teach about it again towards the end of the year. The word of God constantly infuses us and transforms us. Are you getting my point? Listen, this life is not a normal physical life. Life is controlled by spirits. Amen? Controlled by what? Spirits. All kinds of spirits. There are personal spirits. What I mean by personal spirits? Like angels, demons. They are there. There are human spirits, like you and me. They are there. Then there are spirits that we all release into the atmosphere. I'm telling you. Then there is the plan of God. What I mean is that, you see, how do I say this? There are people who, they didn't plan to kill anybody, but God said, I need a murderer. The spirit of a murderer is hanging around looking for who to enter inside. I'm telling you. In the same manner, there are people, you're not planning to be great. God said, I need a great man. And the spirit of the great man is hanging around looking for who to enter. That's how life is. We don't settle down and be fighting on normal levels. That's why He said, the weapons of our warfare, they are not of this flesh, but they are mighty through God. Listen, what the Christian does is to spend his energy on the spirit, on the things of the spirit. Number one, through the word of God. You know that you are sitting down here, just sitting down. You're not doing anything more than just listening. In fact, that is the most... is that the most or the second? Okay, the second is like unto it. Like Jesus would say. So let me put it like this. It's the most effective weapon of the Spirit. Because first, you must settle down and let the word enter you. Then circumstances will come and push you a bit. Then the word will come out of you. When those two things collide, the power of God is released. Listen, never prosper so much that you don't go to hear the word of God again. It's not good. No, it's not. It's, that degree of prosperity, may you never have it. It's crucial. That is, no matter what, explain to people, oh boy, such this is the time I go and hear. He said, but this is, we can go now and we'll be able to do the business. And they say, listen, at this time, I've gone to hear the word. If he's at home, say, no, there's this crucial tip I've not finished listening to. The race that men run, all right, up and down, which they thought you would miss if you are not there, all right, that if you don't start with them, for sitting down imbibing the word of God for an hour, you will overtake them quickly. I hope you're getting my point. It empowers. I hope you get one. I said life is run by spirits. So what you need to do is connect with what the Bible calls the Father of all spirits. Father doesn't just mean the person who born them. That's one meaning. But there's Father in which the Baba of, you know, in you say this is the Baba of all spirits. That is, there are many spirits. This is the heavy one. Area Father of all spirits. Did you get my point? Yeah, follow what I'm saying. Now, why did I go into all of this? So you see, they said, because he has said, therefore we can confidently or boldly say, we are not speaking according to desire. That's why, you know, I said before, if you make confessions based on desire, it produces double-mindedness. Yes, it does. Because today, hey Lord, hallelujah, I believe you. You will give to me that brand new 5 series BMW. The next year, they stop making 5 series. It says now 9 series. So any 5 series you want now will probably be Tokumbo.